This is Cincinnati Edition. I'm Mark Purcell. It's time to go on the money with Chris DeSimio.
It was a glorious week in the Queen City as far as the weather was concerned. Not as glorious as far as the outcome for the National League Central champions, the Cincinnati Reds, who, of course, allowed the Giants to do what had never been done in baseball history, coming back from a two-game deficit in a five-game series. The Reds, however, actually did themselves proud despite leaving many men on base. And if you would like to put it in perspective, Howard Wilkinson, who now covers politics for Cincinnati Public Radio, has written just a wonderful column to put it all in perspective, which is available at the WVXU.org website. So do yourself a favor and put it all in perspective. The market's putting it all in perspective last week. The first-time claims for unemployment insurance fell sharply on Thursday, about 30,000 people fewer first-time claims. And yesterday morning, consumer confidence clocked in at 83. That reading is the highest in about 5 years. It's a pleasure to welcome back to the show Mr. Jeff McPeak, who, along with his father Doug, manages millions of dollars at Notting Hill Investment Advisors. Jeff is a graduate of St. Xavier High School right here in Cincinnati, and then went on to St. X's big feat. Well, where a lot of St. X types end up, at Boston College, and been managing money now about 13 years. Thanks so much for being with us this morning, Jeff.
Thank you, Chris. It's a pleasure to be here.
You were there on Thursday.
Unfortunately, I was.
Unfortunately. Wasn't it interesting, though, that for that brief shining moment, there were, 44,000 people in that stadium mostly wanting the same thing. There were no Democrats. There were no Republicans. There were just Reds fans.
That's right.
Could Wall Street bottle, can something like that, that sense of unity, be bottled and sold? What kind of PE would that trade?
Oh, wow. We could call it singular focus.
Right? Singular. It was a singular focus. Well, speaking of singular focus, at Notting Hill Investment Advisors, you manage portfolios that are kind of concentrated. You have, 20 companies in each portfolio, pretty much?
That is correct.
And you have a couple different styles, some that rely on momentum, some that rely on kind of a combination of momentum and value. Then you have a deep value portfolio. What's working so far this year?
Currently, and most recently, our momentum work, which again is it's a five stock group selected based on superior stock price and earnings momentum, has really come to the forefront and grabbed the performance baton. Specifically in there, we have a housing play, not only builders but byproducts of that. The guys who put paint on the houses, as well as companies that furnish the houses with washers, dryers, the appliances, refrigerators, etc.
So, let's talk about that. This housing recovery, it's hard to believe that, that 4 years into the Great Recession, which ended back in 2009, did anyone think that we would be saying the words recovery and housing in the same sentence?
You're absolutely right. I don't think so. But at the same time, it's what got us into this mess to begin with. And, the idea was that housing prices were only going to go one direction, up. And obviously, as we know on Wall Street, things work until they don't. Mm-hmm. And so I think that the downturn and the fact that it could be caused by that is equally as alarming as well as the fact that we are saying recovery at this point.
Yeah. So without naming specific names, the sectors then that are good ways to participate in this, would they be the home builders, the product manufacturers, the paint makers, the big box stores selling stuff to these people, or are there other peripheral ways that are showing up on your radar screen?
Pretty much a lot of the industries that you just named. I mean, even this week, there was an insulation business that came out that kind of gave everyone pause because it showed a little weakness. But at the same time, it was very evident that their insulation, directly related to housing, was the strength of basically what was driving their earnings, as well as the earnings visibility going forward, as opposed to another part of the business that really ended up lagging. So, yes, it is the byproducts of those, the materials that go in, but also the things that furnish those houses as well.
So is it possible to look at some of the mining companies, without naming names, mm-hmm. but is the mining sector, which produces copper and the metals that go into homes, or are there some of the timber master limited partnerships, are those the kinds of things that are moving, or are there people who process this stuff further downstream?
I would say we don't specifically follow basically timber and those limited partnerships, but again, that's also a yield play as well. Mm-hmm. I mean, as we all know, they're very high yielding I guess, sources of income for any investor. Specifically, you know, you see some where we see value is in some of the steel names, you know, as they relate to residential construction as well as commercial construction as well.
They're so cheap that they're a steal at this point?
Exactly. Yes. I'm going to use that. Yeah, I like that.
Sorry. That was easy. So some of the basic then materials manufacturers, what are some of the other areas then? There is a housing, you know, not a boom, but it's not falling off the cliff anymore. What are some of the other areas then that might look attractive? We've got bank earnings coming out last week. Yesterday, mixed bag in the earnings sector. Are the financials okay to buy now, or should we be looking elsewhere for some deep value plays?
We do not own any financials.
Okay.
And as value investors, it makes up a large portion of our benchmark. But again, we are just not seeing the relative value there that most others. And that's not to say it's not a good sector. That's really anyone's guess. But they've actually obviously have performed well this year. But for us, we think they're still obviously they're not paying dividends based on what's happened.
You know, not the way they used to.
Not the way they used to. Actually, in a post-TARP society, they're more so along the lines that it's just not our cup of tea, so to speak. And obviously, there's regulatory issues. We've seen what's happened with J.P. Morgan this week with the Bear Stearns issue.
Yes.
I mean, something that we thought was dead and buried.
Yeah.
But there's always something out there that seems to be lingering.
Yeah. Like Halloween's right around the corner.
Exactly.
You never know what's going to come out of the graveyard there. Technology has been an interesting little sandbox because all these companies used to sort of be grouped together. You would say, well, the tech sector did this. And now there seems to be this divergence between technology companies that have a big commitment to the increasingly less important PC world versus tech companies that have really hitched their wagon to the mobile star. Where do these kinds of names, or where would it be a good place for investors to kind of be looking in the tech sector for either, you know, momentum or growth or yield? Where should we be dropping our fishing lines in there?
Well, you know, always the first thing on everyone's tongue is the Great Apple.
Yes.
And that's obviously without naming any names, but at the same time, it's prominent. I mean, it's a huge part of these benchmarks.
Absolutely.
And it drove, obviously, returns for the first 6 months of this year, actually the first 9 months of this year. At the same time, a large cap tech, in our estimation, provides tremendous value. I mean, there's companies out there that have product issues, competitive issues. Again, you know, I'll name the PC market specifically.
Sure.
But at the same time, it as you said, it all seems to be about mobility and you know, handhelds and whatnot. And I guess in that situation, we feel that these large cap tech names, they've been around so long, they're behemoths, they have the right management in place to turn around. And again, all they have to do is right this ship, and we think these stocks are spring-loaded to move forward and upward.
Spring-loaded. Yeah. Spring-loaded. Tell us, in the world of spring-loading, I think of companies whose shares have it's our sectors whose shares have been so just beaten to pieces. Mm-hmm. If you just look back 3.5 years ago when you could buy companies for under $1 a share that are now trading in the double digits, what are the characteristics of companies that tend to show up on your deep value or your contrarian list?
It's really the much more cyclical, the much more higher beta type of names.
In other words, a company whose shares are more volatile than that of the overall
Absolutely.
Market.
Absolutely. Specifically materials. And, you know, we have specifically two steel companies.
Mm-hmm.
You know, one has to deal with long-time legacy issues
mm-hmm.
That they're going through, but there's a lot of operating leverage there. They have debt levels that they need to deal with. But really, if you have an improving, a healthy economy with unencumbered growth, again, I say spring-loaded. This stock is ready to move at a moment's notice. Specifically, there's also more of another steel company that has domestic issues here, you know, whether it's overcapacity globally. But then also we own a glass maker that is levered to Western Europe. And but again, lots of operating leverage, doing the right things, turning around, paying down debt to get themselves turned around and ready for, you know, a new economy.
Jeff, to what extent do these kinds of companies, when you describe glass makers and steel makers, I think of these big blast furnaces, and you imagine the energy consumption that it takes to push this finished product out the door. And yet, because of this abundance now of natural gas that seems to be finding its way into more manufacturing uses. Is that one of the drivers then of this, the more competitive or lower cost relative to, you know, things that are made overseas that take a month and a half to get here? Is that one of the things that's driving this manufacturing renaissance?
There's absolutely no doubt about it. I mean, the whole idea of U.S. energy independence is it can't be a more stronger factor in here. I mean, as well, you know, as we know, input costs certainly translate out to the bottom line, and these companies need all the help they can get at this point as they try to right this ship. And that certainly is a factor, and it's something that we have employed in our portfolio through a natural gas, oil and exploration company as well.
Wow, so many different things to keep straight, to keep in mind. So for those of us looking for deep value, then start taking a peek then at some of those now beaten up materials manufacturers and glass manufacturers and companies that make things with that would otherwise consume lots and lots of energy. Jeff, I want to thank you so much for taking time away from your weekend to be here with us from all your exertions at Notting Hill Investment Advisors.
Thanks, Chris. It's always a pleasure.
For Cincinnati Edition, I'm Chris DeSimio on The Money.